This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 299 in the series. This session shares Dr. Ann Bergen's comments on the history of the budget cuts during the school committee meeting held on Tuesday, June 9, 2020. The meeting, as you recall, was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. The full meeting recording and notes were previously posted. This segment was requested as worthy of sharing. The segment itself runs about 8 minutes, so let's listen to Dr. Bergen recap what has been lost from the school budgets over the years. This, as you'll hear, is not a new problem, it's just getting worse.
The other thing I want to do, I want to follow up on what Tim has said and what Denise said and what Elise said, because I do have the history and I think I need to correct some misconceptions, if you'll bear with me for 2 minutes, because I have that history. And what I wanted to say again is just, I do better if I read it, that we're focusing on both short-term solutions brought on by a devastating pandemic with a focus on also long-term solutions. Remembering that we have been facing a fiscal crisis for the last number of years. Jeff Nutting wrote about the coming fiscal crisis before he retired as town administrator. We collect a certain amount of revenue and we can only spend what we collect. The cost of doing business is rising so much faster than our ability to keep up. We, as a school committee, took heed of the warning. We were already feeling its impact and wanted to do all we can to let the public know in an open, transparent way how schools were being impacted. As you know, we held monthly coffee hours. We put out newsletters. We held 3 legislative forums. We sat for hours at the Harvest Festival, Farmers Market, soccer fields on Saturday, and basketball games on winter days, just to get the word out, to inform the public, and answer questions people may have. At the school level, we knew exactly what Jeff was saying. We were living with a relatively fixed budget while the cost of everything around us was soaring: technology, transportation, health insurance, out-of-district special ed tuitions. While we lived with a tiny increase, just enough not even to retain level services, we were also expected to pay for unfunded mandates, requirements from the state and Department of Education, a lot of great programs, just no funds to accompany them. What we have done, though, is attempted to set the record straight and just correct a few misconceptions, which I need to do tonight. One of the things we keep hearing is that, boy, Franklin has always done so well with and not a lot. Just look how good we are. We've had not a lot. It's true. We have great people that make it work. But people forget. I was there. We got a huge influx of money in the 90s. Franklin was growing. How did we spend the money? I'm going to speak about the middle level so you'll see, because that's what I lived. I can speak to that. What did we have? We had French, Spanish, and Latin as full-time academic subjects in grade 7 and 8, with a 6th grade world language exploratory program. Students could try out, sample each language, study the culture, and choose which language they would like to pursue. We had an outstanding general music and choral program at each school. We had a full-time band instructor who also led small group sectionals all throughout the day. We shared a strings instructor who had sectionals throughout the day, so kids didn't have to pay for after-school instruction. We had double the phys ed time. We had also had home ec and shop at that time. We had a full librarian and could hire experienced teachers who came with master's degrees in reading and special ed and mathematics. Kids could ride to and from school without having to pay. Activities carried no fees. So what happened? And everyone who keeps saying this, and I have to correct them, is, oh, they always find the money. I say, no, we don't. As years went by, when we were no longer receiving the large influx of state money, because we had become a wealthier community by comparison, and we weren't growing as much, so to maintain the small amount we were given above level services, what have we lost? Okay. The World Language Exploratory course, French and Latin, Spanish instructional time is greatly reduced. It's no longer an academic subject. Our librarian's gone. Our general music class is gone. Our full-time band instructor's gone. Our small groups, band and strings lessons. Phys ed time has been cut in half. art instruction time was reduced. Our kids pay fees to ride to and from school and to take part in after-school activities. While we've hired wonderful new teachers fresh out of school, we used to be able to hire experienced teachers with master's degrees, except in very specialized subjects. We used to be able to do that. We no longer can. So how do you measure the value of an experienced teacher? We cut home ec, which could have been replaced by a more modernized home ec offering, say financial literacy. And the other myth, and Tim hit on it right on, and I have to just reiterate, when we talk about teacher salaries, because sometimes I hear, oh my God, like exorbitant teacher salaries. I need to just take what Tim's point was, and I just have to, in order, this is on the DESE website, in order from high to low, average teacher salaries, from high to low, Southborough, Sharon, Hopkinton, Northborough, Dover, Foxborough, Medfield, Mansfield, Millis, Acton-Boxborough, Norfolk, Holliston, Medway, Milford, Mendon-Upton, Plainville, Norwood, Marlborough, Wrentham, Natick, Walpole, Bellingham, Franklin. And those fit, as Tim was pointing out so eloquently, along every category. We are not funding our schools with these exorbitant salaries. We have to get that message out. And the other thing we keep hearing, too, is about special education, the cost of special education. Look at the data. Look at the data. We don't spend any more than any other. We're right on the average for cost of special education. So we are excellent. We are. But it's becoming much harder to maintain that excellence. I'm looking at the long-term solution to the issues that we're dealing with. We've hired an extraordinary superintendent who is cited as a model for other leaders in the state. We've read the testimonials from these students who write about eloquently about their music teachers to know the value that these teachers have and the love they have for the love they have for their teachers and the impact that they have on their lives. So as we look, that's what I needed to say this, as we look long term, we have to keep our schools strong. And that's why we have to keep providing as much factual information that's out there, correct the misconceptions, talk with our town counselors, and work together, because the idea that we have enough funding to support the long-term solutions, we don't. And we've got to get the message out, and we need people to say, what do we want our schools to be? And I know I sound dramatic, I always do, and I can't help it, but it's just to say we have to keep getting that message out is, what do we want our schools to be? What do we want? And I'm going to say it again, and I say it every single time, is what happens to a community when we let our schools not be outstanding. So I didn't mean to be overly dramatic, but when Tim was bringing that up, I thought it segued that with that. And because we have to look at things, as we have this budget discussion, we have to look at dealing with a pandemic that no one counted on and doing creative and dramatic things to deal with the short-term things. We don't decimate our schools and ruin our kids' lives, but we have to keep our eye on the prize and keep the focus on the long term. And I think the points that were made tonight were eloquent on that. And I just think we have to keep getting the information out there, but factual information. And I know with Denise is going to speak about what community relations is doing, and she's really working hard just to get factual information out to the public, and she's doing a good job on that. So that was it for my part, but I just felt it was important to get the history there, and without being too overly dramatic. And
we are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.